is the MJ Morning Show Podcast.
Initiate procedure.
Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
MJ Morning Show.
Rock and roll. Showtime.
Hey, folks, it is the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. I am MJ with Fester and Froggy. Roxanne back from a couple of days of vacation. Hopefully you had a decent, relaxing time.
I did. I played with my kids a lot. We filled the whole patio with water balloons and stomped on them. So that took up like 5 hours.
All right, hold on. He said decent and relaxing time.
I filled up my whole patio with water balloons and stomped on them.
That's fun.
Man, that's some quality family entertainment right there.
It was. But one thing I did that's very much like Froggy is I did not read any news. I did not get on my phone that much. So I'm getting all my news here today.
Yeah, but you were bucking to get on the show yesterday. You were like begging us to call you for some reason.
I wasn't begging you. I was putting it out there like in a friendly, hey, listen.
Just a minute. She was making herself available in case the three of us couldn't have floated the boat.
Gotcha. Hey, Froggy, how excited are you at Alexis, who called yesterday, auditioning for the Karen gig of the talking Karen doll that Froggy Industries is putting out?
Got ourselves a real professional Karen. Very excited about this.
I'll tell you what. Hey, for all of the early listeners that didn't quite hear this, hey, Coop, how long before you can pull just a couple of examples of the audition that we had over the phone on the air yesterday?
Probably by next segment.
All right, folks, next segment in minutes. The Karen doll that Froggy Industries is, well, talking about producing. This is a novelty item. Man, Fester, do me a favor. Look up, how many of those Billy Bass things did they sell?
Okay. Big mouth Billy Bass.
Yeah. The Billy Bass things. You know, the fish on the wall that you push the button, it starts singing, you know, don't worry, be happy.
Just the dumbest idea.
And take me to the river, and then the bass, you know, comes off the plaque and, you know, bends and starts moving its little fish mouth.
Did they have to pay for the rights to that song?
Yeah, I'm sure they had to pay for licensing fees, absolutely.
Maybe Karen needs a song.
So yeah. I didn't listen yesterday, but I heard something about you guys are having people audition to be the Karens.
Well, we're not having like an open casting call. A listener approached us after hearing about the concept. All right, I guess we got to fill in Roxanne on this deal coming up. Hey, also, Michelle and I, we went to the Greyhound track yesterday in Tampa, played some poker. No, We got our shots yesterday. We got our first dose. You know, they're still doling out the Pfizer. And I kind of wanted to get the Pfizer.
Go get your donut, dude.
Yeah, I do have a card.
Free donut. Yeah, every day.
I don't get it. I don't understand that.
Can I borrow your card?
No, you're not borrowing my card.
Put a Band-Aid on your card.
Hang on. We got the donut deal coming up. My Pfizer vaccine with Michelle yesterday. I got the Karen. Hold on. We're just getting rolling. Back in a minute. Don't miss one moment of today's show. It's the MJ Morning Show, Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show Podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show Podcast.
Yeah, leave it to Fester to come up with a concept. Hey, can I borrow your vaccination card so I can go into Krispy Kreme and grab a free donut every day?
Right, listen, you're painting it the wrong way. I don't need to borrow it forever. I just need to borrow it until I get my own card.
I am not going to participate in your donut fraud, dude. That is outright donut fraud, and I would not do that. No, you're not going to borrow my vaccine card, because first of all, you're an irresponsible lug, and you'll lose it, and I need that to get my second dose on the 13th of April. That's what my card says. Man, that was quite a process going through that whole thing. It was easy. Michelle and I went to the Tampa Greyhound track. I'll talk about that later on, but it was easy.
Was it crowded?
It was busy, but we were in and out in 1 hour, and that included our 15-minute wait time after we got our vaccination. You kind of chill for 15 minutes to make sure you don't go into, like, you know, anaphylactic shock or something.
It's been 14 minutes, honey. I think I'm...
Arm goes out of your forehead.
It was a really quick, easy process. It was amazingly organized at the Tampa Greyhound track, but it was surreal. It was a little like dystopian movie-like, and National Guard and going through tents. I'm looking for Dustin Hoffman in the big yellow suit. You know, it's
That movie wasn't too far off.
No, it felt weird, but it was easy. You know, don't be dissuaded. This thing was easy, breezy, cheesy.
And you feel breezy, good now.
And I don't feel queasy. Yeah, what?
Okay,
yeah.
You just answered it. You don't feel queasy.
Oh, no, I feel fine. Just, you know, a little localized soreness just where I got the shot. Just a little, you know, like after you get the flu shot or you get any kind of shot.
All right, enough of that. You have a card.
I do have a card. You're not getting my card.
What is the card? You get free donuts with it?
Sit back, Roxanne. You're not going to believe what Krispy Kreme is doing. If anybody has the vaccination card, Krispy Kreme Donuts is giving you one free donut every day until the end of the year.
I thought it was like one donut one time, but apparently you can go to Krispy Kreme every single freaking day, walk in with your vaccination card until December 31st, and get a free donut.
I wonder how many people are actually doing that.
Like, Homer Simpson?
Here's Eddie again. Oh, my God. For 100th donut in a row.
It's like, boy, that vaccine's really made you put on weight. So I've just taken up the offer.
Nobody's going to go every... Well, I bet you they will.
Bester would.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, every day's a little bit of a chore, but, you know, four times a week's a pretty accomplishable
beat. I'll bring this up later on, because I know you're going to keep badgering me for my card.
All right, hey. Can I make a copy of it?
That's it.
You're not making a copy with my name. No, you're not making a copy of my card. All right. The Karen doll concept, Froggy Industries, who brought you amazing ideas such as the Scrush Brush, which is still in development, by the way.
Yes, yes. These things take time.
Yeah,
the
Scrush Brush. Hang on. Do I have the Scrush Brush? Yeah, here we go. Here's the Scrush Brush jingle.
You got that?
Yeah, I do. Right here. I'll put a scrush on you. And right. The Scrush Brush, that concept is a hairbrush with a telescoping extension rod right. And a handle that turns into a back scratcher. 1 minute you're combing your hair with the Scrush Brush. Up. While you're combing your hair or brushing your hair, you got a back scratch you can't reach, a back itch. Then you grab your Scrush Brush, you pull out the handle, then you're scratching your back. From hairbrush to back scratcher, that's the Scrush Brush concept. And then the latest that Froggy Industries has is...
Karen, she's always staring at you.
All right, that's Staring Karen. And
she's a hit.
We had an audition yesterday. The Staring Karen is a little like plastic doll, you know, maybe, I don't know, 8-10 inches high. And it looks like a Karen. You know, it's a depiction of what you'd expect a Karen to look like, you know, kind of a middle-aged white woman, a bob haircut with a scowl on her face. She's pointing and she says things like,
"You just lost our business."
My God, we can use those.
Sounds good.
So a woman emails me and says that her parents were listening. She's like 29 years old. Her parents were listening, and she listens to the show as well. And she heard us talking about the Karen doll, and the Karen doll kind of evolved into not just a novelty doll, but push a button, and the Karen doll starts spitting out these Karen-like phrases.
Karenisms, if you will.
Exactly. And I said, "Would you like to audition?" I sent her a script of potential Karenisms. We had her on the phone yesterday, a little after 8 o'clock, and she auditioned live on the air with things like,
"Yes, I have a special medical condition that prevents me from wearing a mask."
That sounds good. Very authoritative and like being momish.
And the doll is actually holding the mask, not wearing it, so it makes sense.
It's very Karen-y.
That's a HIPAA violation, and you're looking at a massive lawsuit, Missy.
Oh, Missy is also
Missy. Perfect.
What else?
You know what? I'm calling the cops. Yeah, that's right. I had the cops on speed dial.
That's scary.
She's got a little Midwestern accent, too, there.
Well, I'm glad you said that. She's from St. Louis. It's a really perfect culmination of American accents in one spot.
Yeah, she's a former St. Louis listener when we were on the air for 14 years in St. Louis. That's on right. 107.7. So, man, I'll tell you what, if you go with the talking option, I think you found your voice actress.
I think so. And what do you want now? 89% just for the voice?
Well, I found her for you.
That's a steep, but
for the voice lady. All right, so I get 89% of the profits on the Staren Karen doll.
You drive a hard bargain, my friend.
All right, I mean, I can't wait to get this project on the road. I'm sure I'm gonna make dollars.
Multiple
dollars.
You're telling me you see the Kiss Staren Karen at the impulse aisle, you're not gonna buy that thing,
probably. As seen on TV aisle, right?
That's right.
At Walgreens. All right, it's the MJ Morning Show just getting rolling. Morons in the news on the way. It's a loaded Wednesday.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
We got the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. Now, as far as stuff you can win, don't forget 9:20 this morning. We'll roll out the SeaWorld tickets again. So just be listening at 9:20-ish. Give you the exact number caller to be. And you call up, you win a pair of SeaWorld tickets and a parking pass. And, of course, the SeaWorld deal right now is the Seven Seas Food Festival. So
that sounds fun.
Yeah, very exciting. Hang on, I got to take my mask off for a second here.
Are we wearing masks today or aren't we?
Well, look at this guy. Well, just got a shot, ticking it off.
No. That's not why. We're shooting video in the studio. So just, you know, kind of taking the mask off for just, you know, a few minutes at a time so we can get some clean video without our masks on.
I didn't know they were doing this today.
Oh, well, I was wearing my mask for the first couple of segments of the show, and the camera really doesn't pick up my condescending smirks.
Well, either is the microphone when you look away from it. So kind of try to talk in the microphone.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, Froggy, do you check your email? We have like 9 emails from Ted about we're shooting video today of the MJ Morning Show. We got like 5 cameras set up in here.
He sent it to all your personal emails, too, personal and work email.
Yeah. Check your email, dude.
I'm busy, okay? Yeah. I've got business. I got Froggy Industries, you know? I was cutting deals all night, okay? Yeah,
we got to get into this later on. I saw this a couple of days ago. It's been in my pile. I got to make time for it. A guy started noticing that the TV preachers that he was watching, you know, you turn on TV Sunday morning, Sunday nights, I mean, you flip around. You got all those, like, mega church preachers.
Right.
And he started noticing that they're wearing like unbelievably expensive clothes and shoes.
Of course.
And this guy starts taking freeze frame shots, like little frame shots. And he, I guess, started a website and he exposes all of these like TV evangelicals for the like $5,000 sneakers they're wearing. I mean, ridiculous stuff.
You can buy a lot of soup for the homeless for the price of those sneakers.
Yeah, you can. He's like tagging every item they're wearing.
Did you see the story as well?
No, but I can picture what they would do in a side by side.
Was Joel Osteen rocking some Yeezys?
Oh, that guy creeps me out. That guy with that like creepy, smoky.
Yeah,
oh,
he's definitely a lizard, man.
Oh, he is. That guy's a lizard.
Yeah, he is.
I'm telling you. All right, so hang on. We'll get into the Yeezy preachy tabulation of the ridiculous amounts of money. If they just took some of that money and they like put it toward charity, oh my god!
No, man, we need some cool kicks.
Yeah, we'll splainulate coming up here on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105. All right, morons in the news. Coop was asking me yesterday what to do with his stimulus check. Yeah, Coop's got $1,400 in stimulus money. And Coop, did you heed my advice? And this is going to segue into a moron. Did you heed my advice?
You know, I thought about it, and I really just want to spend it on something I want to treat myself.
You're not going to pay down debt like I recommended. You've got credit card debt. You've got student debt. You're not going to use the $1,400 to pay off debt. You're going to go ahead and just blow it on something that's going to be irrelevant in 3 weeks?
Yeah, I was thinking about investing in Chuck E. Cheese, maybe. I heard they're coming back, but...
Wait a minute.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Wait a minute. That's an investment. That's not like blowing it on something for you.
But I will make so much money, and then I can splurge even more.
I mean, they do have good pizza.
So that's your get-rich-quick scheme, is to go buy Chuck E. Cheese stock?
Yeah, we're reopening, man.
I like it. Actually, you should invest in Showbiz, Chuck E. Cheese's old competition.
Well... let me tell you what this lady did with her stimulus money. She bought some fentanyl, and her two-year-old kid died. How about that? Sorry for the downer here, folks, but you know, this is a moron in the news. Boy, two dies after eating fentanyl.
Ugh.
By the way, anybody that says fentanyl, correct them and call them a moron.
Yeah,
please.
Because we want to get our opioids right.
Fentanyl?
Nah, listen, I'm not being 100% serious, but so many people call it fentanyl. I mean, even watching TV, like, you'll see newscasters, they'll say, and fentanyl. No, it's fentanyl. It's NYL. That's how the drug is spelled. Yeah, listen to this, cretin. Lauren Ashley Baker left fentanyl in her purse. Her son got into her purse after she fell asleep. Two-year-old Kentucky kid. Consume mom's fentanyl. She bought the fentanyl with her stimulus check. What a phenomenal use. Hey, Coop, I don't think you're thinking about buying fentanyl with your stimulus check, right?
Yeah, that's not on my list.
You know, in Kentucky, it's fentanyl.
Fentanyl?
Hey, y'all. Got some fentanyl? Yeah.
Lauren Ashley Baker, 33, told the cops she got the highly addictive synthetic opioid last week in Cincinnati. While using money from her stimulus check, she got the drug, which, by the way, is, depending on how pure it is, up to 100 times more potent than morphine.
50 times more powerful than heroin.
Yep. Well, it depends, I think, on the purity of the fentanyl or whether it's cut with something.
6 times more powerful than kryptonite.
My God, but the people that are dying from drug overdoses, now, listen, you're joking around, but, you know, there's cocaine that's been cut with fentanyl now, and, you know, people are dying. And so she brought it back home. She shared it with 2 other people. She then said she took the fentanyl shot sometime Thursday before falling asleep. Her 2-year-old kid, while she was sleeping, got into her purse, found the drug, ingested the drug. She woke and found she woke up. She found that her purse was emptied out and her son was not breathing.
What, did it look like Tic Tacs or something? Or mint?
2-year-olds put everything in their mouth.
Usually it's like a powdery, I think. A powdery kind of substance, right?
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. Is that not...
absolutely.
I mean, you want to punch this lady in the face. For her 2-year-old kid dying, it's awful. What a terrible, terrible story.
She's leaving everything open to that child to ingest or, you know, set the kitchen on fire because she's all drugged out. So something bad was going to happen.
Now you leave a 2-year-old kid by itself. You fall asleep in a drug-induced stupor. What a dope. All right, hold on to that thought because... there is no shortage of the morons in the news. A massive pile continues next. MJ Morning Show.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
This is the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. And speaking of drugs, did anyone ever watch that Honey Boo Boo show? I mean, I had no time for that. I mean, that was just...
Is that the one where the little girl drank Red Bull?
I have no idea. I just said I don't watch the show.
Obviously, you don't watch the show. Obviously, Roxanne doesn't watch it either. It was Mountain Dew. That was her go-go juice.
Go-go juice. That's right.
You know, for me, that show is LCD. Anybody know what that means?
LSD.
No, I said LCD.
LCD sound system.
For me, that show was Honey Boo Boo. Is that the name of the show, Honey Boo Boo?
I think it was Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
Fester knows.
And the star of the show was the little girl, but also Mama June.
Yeah, Mama June. There's a reason why I'm bringing this up. You know, on the heels of the fentanyl story from last segment, Mama June. No one knows what LCD, that show is LCD. No one knows?
I think I know what it means.
What do you think it is?
I think it means the lowest common denominator.
Dude, you're getting better. That is absolutely right.
I took eighth grade math.
That is correct. That show for me always like lowest common denominator television. This is amazing. Speaking of drugs, Mama June says she spent almost $1 million on meth in 1 year.
Is that how she lost all that weight?
My God, I was going to say, I thought I had heard somewhere. Did I read somewhere she lost a whole lot of weight?
Okay, so
wasn't she like once like 400 pounds or something?
Yeah. She's got to have all that meth to keep up with her daughter who's on all the Red Bull and Mountain Dew.
Her daughter's like juice. 28 now.
Yeah, the kids have grown up. What, during the show, she was living in a shack near a train track.
That's right, the train.
It was really, MJ, the show was a train wreck you couldn't not watch.
How's Sugar Bear?
Hey, guess what, Fester, guess what? I could not watch. I didn't watch. I didn't have any desire to watch that low rent, lowest common denominator crap.
You only cheated yourself.
Oh, I cheated myself.
She was a very large woman.
I am culturally unfulfilled because I didn't watch Here Comes Honey, Boom Boom.
Very largely. Then the show gets canceled. I remember like one of her ex-boyfriends got out of prison and he had a rap sheet that involved hurting children. And
what?
Yeah, this is really low-level, low-rent stuff.
Now, here's the deal. I sound like Joe Biden. Now, here's the deal. She says that she spent $2,500 a day, if not more, on meth. How is she alive? How does she have all her teeth? I'm looking at a picture of her. I wonder if she had those sores and scabs all over her face, like the people. Man, if you're out shopping, you know, if you're at Walmart or something, or Target, man, you can tell people that are doing meth, man. They're all scabbed up. You've seen them, right?
Hey, excuse me, sir, are you on meth?
I've seen the mugshots.
My cat just scratches me a lot.
My God, how do you spend nearly $1 million on meth in 1 year, consume that, and then still be alive?
How much money does she have to spend $1 million on meth?
You got to figure. It's funny to watch these reality shows because when you meet these people, they're broke as a joke. But as they develop, they become insanely rich.
Mama June Shannon and her boyfriend Eugene Gino Doak. By the way, Gino's now doing middays here on Q105.
Gino,
yeah.
Here we go. It's
Gino spent $900,000 in 1 year. So even if they split it, they're each doing $450,000 worth of meth. How are you still alive?
And if I'm looking at a current picture of her, she doesn't look like what we think of when we think of meth heads.
Okay, she did at the beginning of this episode.
Oh my
She said every kind. She also had her own show called Mama June from Not to Hot, where they went over her body transformation.
What was that the name of the show?
Yeah,
sure she's still not.
No, she's not. It's
From Not to Hot is the name of the thing.
That was one of the spinoffs. Now the little girl, she's like she's like 18.
Hey Froggy, you brought in your TMJ retainer, right?
I did, but I can't wear it.
Why not?
It made me puke in the parking lot.
All right. We're going to put Froggy's TMJ retainer in, and we're going to have him
just
do...
Just in him, not in like me or Fester.
No, no. We're going to have him do the rest of the show wearing his TMJ mouth gear.
It makes me gag. It's torture.
I can't wait to hear this. We'll put it in next on the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
This is the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. Who the hell?
Me.
Who did that?
Me.
Did you slam your face into the microphone?
It wasn't my face. I was taking my mask off, and I slammed my hand into it.
I open everyone's mics up here. It's the end of the REM song, and I hear, and I'm sure you heard at home also, folks, that was Roxanne's.
Usually it's my nose.
Yeah, usually.
Like, what is that? I mean, we're supposed to be a professional broadcast operation here.
I'm glutzy.
Are we?
Yes. Stop. So what did you do? You what?
I said, I'm klutzy.
No, no. What did you do to make the noise?
I took my mask off because I'm not wearing...
Yeah, but you take your face away from the microphone and don't ram your hand and face into the microphone as you're taking your mask off. Hey, we've got the 911 problem in the building. Did you see this?
You know what? I haven't done this yet, but I can see how it happens a lot.
You saw the email, right?
Absolutely.
Froggy, of course, Froggy has no idea what we're talking about. Froggy, did you see the... Hang on a minute.
No,
did you see the email?
No, I don't know a 911 issue.
Of course not. Yes, Roxanne?
Maybe Fester has done it, because I started thinking maybe we've done it, we don't even know. That's the thing.
There's a 911 issue. An email went out in the building. We got to discuss that coming up in just a bit. First, though, Froggy...
Oh, God.
Let me see your TMJ device. And why did you explain to everyone you've got TMJ? What are you?
Well, I've had it for years. It's flared up recently, within the last few months.
So you're clenching your teeth, you're grinding your teeth, and you went to a professional, right?
Yes, I went to my dentist.
And your dentist diagnosed you with TMJ.
Yes. And
what does that stand for? It's like some crazy unpronounceable name, right?
Mandibular is the M, I think.
And jaw is probably the J.
Now, what does TMJ stand for? Temporomandibular joint. There you go. Good job there, Rox. Mandibular. Use mandibular in a sentence. Yes.
So my jaw started locking in the middle of the night. I would wake up.
I'm sorry.
I would wake up and I couldn't open my mouth.
That's a good thing, actually.
This is a problem because it causes stress. Imagine not being able to open your mouth.
I'm sure your wife had like a little key fob device that she could just click.
make you lock it. It's funny because my dentist told me just to push the side of my face when that happens and unlock my jaw, and it works. It's like a button.
Push the side of your face?
Yeah, it's like my jaw gets locked up and you push it. Like sometimes I'll be eating and my jaw will lock and then pop in the pain.
And he custom fit you for this TMJ device.
Yes.
How long have you had this thing?
4 months.
All right. Put it in. What Froggy's going to do the rest of the show with the TMJ device. I want to hear what the sound. Now, Froggy, before you put... Hold on. Take it. Don't put it in yet.
All right.
All right. Before you put it in, yesterday, without the device, you demonstrated what you think you sound like with the device in. Without putting the device in, can you give us a demo of what you think you sound like with the device?
Well, it just sort of interrupts everything in my mouth, like this. Sort of. I always imagine.
So that's how you, putting
it's
on
probably
voice.
Even worse than this. This is a fake voice. This is Skippy, one of my characters.
All right, now put the device in. Let's hear what you sound like.
All right.
And Froggy's putting the device in his mouth.
Does it
this
click
is the TMJ
in?
Device.
Right, how's it look?
Oh my gosh, it's worse. What's that sound? It's making a... What is that? This is, I can't talk to this thing.
I love it.
Do I look stupid? Why does it keep going...
Hey, Froggy, tell us about our SeaWorld tickets we're giving away later this morning.
Well, we got a really... This is a great... it's a great promotion.
All right, are you putting on a voice behind this mouth guard?
No, okay, let me do it for real. Okay, we got a great promotion coming up.
I can't talk to this thing. I want to hear how you naturally sound with this thing.
All right, well, Fisher, you look pretty, feel very thin today. That's how I talk with it. Look at this.
I'm going to give him some commercial copy to read.
I'll be right back. I got the studio booth right across the hall. Hold on, I'll get some for you.
Guys, having a problem with your ED.
Hey, I know that commercial.
What was it? Having a problem with what?
EG.
What?
He's mocking my...
What?
EG.
What is the ailment?
EG. Erectile dysfunction.
You know, South Bay Medical Clinic helps thousands of men, Froggy.
Oh my God. Look at this thing. This thing sucks.
It's actually pretty awesome.
Can you hold it up to the camera, please?
Hold it up to what camera?
Is there a camera on Froggy? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
There it is.
Yeah,
right
Froggy, hold
it
up.
There's
to the
camera.
He has a camera pointing.
Hello.
Take it out of your mouth and wet the lens on the camera.
Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. There's pieces of right.
Yeah. Buck, the video guy's in the producer booth, and he's like putting his arm. He looks like Coco the monkey in there. It looks like George Costanza. That's what he looks like with his arms going up and down in there.
It makes me feel sick.
My God. All right, take that thing out, man. That's going to drive me crazy. Hey, what's going on in Largo? Why is it that Largo is making the idiot news like nonstop of late? Or actually, since we came back on the air, since the MJ Morning Show began again, back in October. How many insane Largo stories have we had? Which ones do you remember?
So many.
Is that
they
from
all kind of blur.
Am I supposed to keep it in?
Is it in or out?
It's in.
Best, how many crazy Largo stories can you remember?
I remember there was a violent fast food altercations. Like, it was like two big national stories involving fast food coming out of Largo.
Didn't some guy get pissed off that they ran out of lettuce at Checkers and he smashed the window or something in Largo?
For his chicken sandwich. Yeah.
Right?
I'm very visual, so I just remember the mug shots from the smoking gun out of Largo, and they're all just crazy, like perverted.
There's another Largo story on the smoking gun, which is a great website. It's like crime website, but they have all kinds of nutty stories. Couple busted for completely exposed oral sex encounter in that Largo Park. What is that thing called?
It's called Largo Oral Sex Park.
No, it's Largo Central Park.
It's actually a wonderful park.
Yeah, it is. Listen, I've been there. Is that where the train goes around too?
Yeah, like once a month they have the train. Yeah. I've been there for the train. Yeah. It's a beautiful park.
I think we had a birthday party there for one of Julian or Chloe's friends, like in 2006, and we went on the train.
It's still Central Park, but it's Largo Central Park.
Years ago, they had the Renaissance Festival in that vicinity, and it's a great park.
According to Largo police, Grant Mulder, that's Agent Mulder to you, and Lauren Ball were spotted last Saturday around 1:45 p.m. I can't give you the full description because it's too graphic. But let's just say that Lauren was on her back and, in the middle of the park. What the heck were they doing? What is going on in Largo?
Just later on the slide.
They spend more time in Largo. It sounds like
they were right near the Veterans Memorial inside the park.
Okay.
And they're having this full-blown sexual encounter in the park at 1:45 in the afternoon on Saturday.
Drugs involved?
Doesn't say. A detailed arrest affidavit from the Largo Police Department. The officer witnessed, I can't say this.
Oh.
I mean, but it's exactly what you think it is.
We're on that one toy that with that big spring on the bottom and it goes forward and backwards.
What?
The playground toy.
I thought you were talking about something else.
I was talking about that.
Yeah, the playground toy.
Oh, so the fact that it's in the park, they're going to get the sort of, what is it, when you get in trouble for doing stuff on kids' property, pedophile charges?
I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen. You know, you could potentially be hit with, charges that could require you to register as a sex offender,
right.
Maybe.
And that's where it's going to lead with these people.
Yeah, possibly. I can't read half this police report here. Mulder and Ball, according to the Largo police officer, were visible to park patrons as well as pedestrians and motorists passing by.
Oh.
And he's just going to town.
Could you imagine driving past that?
My God.
What's happening there?
So no drugs involved, but a lot of pheromones involved.
Love horniness.
So, right there in the park. Wow.
Yeah. Mulder, who's known as Buddha. That's his nickname.
What's up, Buddha?
They were arrested, booked into the Pinellas County Jail. Mulder was charged with lewd and lascivious behavior. Ball is facing an exposure of sexual organs charge.
Ball is his name?
No, Ball.
Her name.
Her name is Ball. B-A-U-G-H. Ball.
What an awful name.
Is this not... It's Largo. It's like every time I turn around, there's some crazed story out of Largo that's making national news.
I mean, aside from your boobs, it's really hard to expose your organs as a woman. You have to be full on.
She was. She had no clothes on, and, it's like she was having an exam done, apparently.
Yeah, Roxanne, with this activity, it's not that hard.
She was perched atop the monkey bars.
Yeah, according to court records, Ball has previously been convicted of burglary, theft, trespassing, possession of an open container.
Oh, she's a fun time.
Mulder has an extensive rap sheet, including convictions for aggravated assault, grand theft, battery.
All right, so are these two exclusive, or she's like on Shantinder or something?
I'm looking at her mugshot. I mean, she's fairly attractive also.
She's a lovely lady.
I mean, Boa is attractive. She's a good-looking woman.
Lady in the street, but a freak at the park.
But Largo. Oh, look what song is coming up right here. Oh, I hope Michelle's awake. So we're driving around, and we were listening to Q105 the other day, and this song is on the radio, and I didn't know this about Michelle. Michelle said, I love this song. So,
my lovely wife, Michelle, here's your long-distance dedication. It's Dan Hartman. I Can Dream About You on Q105.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
Yes, the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. That's interesting. 7:08 the time here on a Wednesday. I'll tell you what, next segment, I teased this earlier about the preachers and sneakers and this guy that keeps track of all the expensive clothing and shoes and accessories that these evangelical preachers on TV and those that have YouTube channels, you know, they're you know, begging for money in many cases. They're looking for church donations. And this dude, he recognized that they're wearing clothing and shoes that's a fortune. So he started an Instagram account. It's amazing. And, you know, it's kind of sad at the same time. And the guy brings up some really good points. These are, you know, supposedly men and women of God and religion. And doesn't the Bible talk about how you're supposed to be humble and kind of, you know, not throw yourself out there and expose and you know, brag? Are you supposed to be kind of quiet and low-key? And then you have these preachers that are wearing just expensive-ass stuff. And it's an interesting story. Preachers and sneakers. I'll get to this in the next segment. So in just a few minutes here on the MJ Morning Show. Rox just got a text. By the way, when we take phone calls, of course, you call 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. That's how you dial the show if we ever take phone calls, and we do quite a bit. We also use the same line for texting. You can always just text the show, whatever you want. You can send us a text. We've got monitors in the studio so we can see the texts that roll in. And Roxanne, you were just reading a text regarding something in the last segment.
Yes, someone texted us and said, good morning, MJ and crew. I have printed Bo before. This is the person, the woman who was having sex in the Largo Park. I have a mental block against that.
Yeah.
And so he's actually printed Baw before at the county jail. Largo is a strange place.
Oh, so that's a worker at the Pinellas County Jail that
yes.
Must be an intake. And actually, he means, or is it a he or she? Do we know?
We don't know.
All right. So this individual that just texted us must work at the Pinellas County Jail and actually fingerprinted Baw for some previous encounter.
Yes.
Or maybe this encounter.
Yeah.
I mean, she was just picked up again.
You never know. Guess what has just turned 50? Think about this for a second. And you're not going to guess it off the bat, so I'm going to have to give you some clue.
All right.
Some clues. The question is, guess what has just turned 50? It is a cartoonish symbol. Does anybody know?
That could be anything in the world.
A cartoonish symbol has just turned 50.
All right, so you're not saying it's a cartoon.
Nope.
Is it like a...
It's a cartoonish symbol.
That's the worst hint ever.
There are a lot of cartoons.
It does suck.
Or is it like a logo?
There's a lot of symbols.
You know what? Logo, symbol, it is circular, meant to warn kids.
Oh, the...
Like pentagram? What? Pentagram.
Pentagram?
You know, what is a pentagram?
It's like some devil worship.
Yeah, no, not that.
Right?
What?
Yin yang.
No, that's the twins.
I think it's yin. It's not ying. Right. Isn't it yin and yang?
At least I'm guessing.
It's meant to warn kids.
Circular item.
Is it black?
Cartoonish.
Don't smoke. Camel. Like a camel.
We'll be here all day.
Wait. Don't do crack?
No. Right.
Is it the just say no
badge? Say no to drugs.
Nope.
This game is
skull and crossbows on poison?
It's poison. It's
skull and crossbows?
No, it's poison related. You're almost there.
The rat.
Mr.
Freeze.
No.
Clean.
I'm out. What is it?
Mr. Yuck.
Bounty.
Mr. Yuck.
I have no idea what that is.
Oh, you guys don't know what Mr. Yes, Fester.
All right, I've seen this before.
Mr. Yuck is that round, it's like a round
profile of a face.
It's a round, it's like the size of a silver dollar, and it's got little like, lines for eyes, and then it's like a tongue being stuck out from a frown face, and the eyebrows are up. It's the poison help. It's Mr. Yuck. And this was something introduced like 50 years ago, and it was like a sticker, a symbol, and that you're supposed to put this on anything poisonous So if you had like chemicals or cleaning products under your sink, you put the Mr. Yuck sticker on it so your kids know, don't touch it, don't eat it, it's poison. Mr. Yuck is 50 years old.
I would have never lived this long eating all that bad stuff.
I have an apology to make. I did something really, really bad with Mr. Yuck, and...
Oh, my God, that sounds weird right there, what you
well,
said.
Yeah, really.
Well, and then there were a couple of hundred kids that followed suit.
Okay.
And we made somebody cry.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to unpack this.
I have to unpack. I hate that term, by the way.
I love it.
And then we'll put a bow on it.
I hate that term.
I love the term.
I need a little more time here.
All right, listen.
So I'm going to push this off to the next segment, and then the preacher thing as well. Stick with us. Next segment, I've got a confession to make. I 50 years later, well, not quite 50.
So your confession is you did a bad thing with Mr. Yuck.
My deal happened back in like 1976 or 77, and I've got a confession, an apology. It's a Mr. Yuck deal. It's coming up on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105. Stand by.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
This is the MJ Morning Show. You're listening to Q105. Don't forget, 8 o'clock this morning, so that's, 35 minutes away. 8 o'clock this morning, we'll give you the Trip a Day song, and that will be replayed sometime later today. And, of course, when you hear it, you'll be the seventh caller, and you'll win the Trip a Day. And it's a really cool Trip a Day. It's a two-night spring break getaway to the Hard Rock Hotel in Daytona Beach. So listen for the song. We'll give you the title at 8 o'clock, and then it's going to play later on during the day. We'll tell you exactly what song. We'll tell you exactly what time it's going to play. Doesn't get much easier. And then at 9:20 this morning, we'll give away SeaWorld tickets because it's the Seven Seas Food Festival at SeaWorld in Orlando. And we have two tickets plus a parking pass. That'll happen at 9:20 this morning right here on the MJ Morning Show. All right. Busy segment. First, my apology. And I wish that I could track down Mrs. Beal.
Now, Jessica Beal?
Nope.
When did you know nope. Mrs. Beal?
Mrs. Beal, this would be 1977.
You think she's still alive?
I don't know. She was probably... Well, let's do the math. Mrs. Beal was probably late 50s, 60s back then. No,
she's dead.
Yeah, she'd be 100 and something. Yeah.
I'm doing just fine, Mrs. Beal here.
Hang on a minute. Yeah. I just saw her on a Smucker's jar on the Today Show.
Yes.
Hold on a minute. There she is right there.
It's got to be good.
Just turned 110.
Whenever you interview those people who are 110, it's like, how are you so old? Oh, I drink a lot of whiskey.
I do crack. Beal,
yeah.
Yeah, I smoke a lot of crack. I'm doing, this new fentanyl thing, man, that's great stuff right there. Mrs. Beal, if you missed the last segment, I'll bring up the speed in 10 seconds. I mentioned that Mr. Yuck is 50 years old. Mr. Yuck is that little sticker. It was a round sticker, and it had like this awful face of a cartoonish face with its tongue stuck out, its eyes in a really nasty, squinched up, sour looking thing. Mr. Yuck was a sticker that parents would put on like poisons or cleaning products in the house, and you teach your kids whenever you see Mr. Yuck, you stay away. Never touch Mr. Yuck. Never eat Mr. Yuck. Stay away.
Is that the official name of this guy?
Yeah, it was Mr. Yuck.
I typed in Mr. Yuck into Google and all these stickers popped up.
But there's no C, just to be clear. There's no C
Y-U-K.
In the Yuck.
It's Mr. Yuck, Y-U-K. Oh, there are tons of them. Go back to the description. Go back. It says that Mr. Yuck is a trademark graphic image created by UPMC Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh, widely employed in the United States in labeling of substances that are poisonous if ingested. Here's the problem. This is why I owe Mrs. Beal an apology. I started this. I'm sorry. I feel bad. And I forgot all about this until I saw the story that Mr. Yuck, the little sticker with the poison face, turned 50. During lunch in the cafeteria at Pembroke Meadows Elementary School in Virginia Beach, 1977-ish, they passed out the Mr. Yuck stickers in the lunchroom. And some kind of deal. They were passing out the stickers, they gave you like a little roll of stick, Mr. Yuck stickers.
What are you going to do? Put them on your lunchbox?
Well, here's the deal. Froggy knows what's coming here. Lunch was particularly bad that day.
Oh, no.
It was like a Salisbury steak kind of thing.
It was something awful. This was god awful. It was Pembroke Meadows Elementary School, Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Square pizza day.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
They passed out these Mr. Yuck stickers, and I think we got a little pamphlet as well. And the food was so bad, I said at my lunch table, I said, "Hey, let's all put the Mr. Yuck stickers on our lunch and hand it back to the lunch lady."
Oh.
250 kids in the cafeteria did it.
Wow. You're quite the leader of the youth movement.
You had like, you built a movement up in no time at all, one period.
I feel terrible.
Did she cry?
She cried.
Oh!
You're
the worst.
I feel awful.
Did you feel bad then?
You made a lunch lady cry.
I did, and she was probably, 60 years old.
And you know what, Todd would do this to me?
You know, even though, like, half the food was somewhat inedible, she really cared about her job. Oh. You know, as a mature adult now, I can look back and, you know, while maybe she wasn't given the best raw materials to make our lunches with, and half of it was disgusting and inedible, I really think that Mrs. Beal cared about her job and cared about us chillins.
The kids, of course.
Maybe she cared about her job, but she was just a terrible cook. I mean, was she hitting it out of the park other days of the week?
Is there a good cafeteria cook?
Again, I think pizza day was somewhat passable.
That's the easiest day. Yeah. It's frozen. It comes in, they
and
eat
then
it up.
For an extra quarter, you can get an extra slice. It was like 35 cents a quarter, whatever it was.
How old were you again?
Would have been...
Real demonic age.
I would have been like 11 years old.
So you were like an 11-year-old restaurant reviewer.
Yeah, I was 10 or 11.
No,
10
he was
or 11 years old.
He was an 11-year-old prick is what he was.
So the principal comes into the lunchroom. Mrs. Beal's there crying. She's bawling her eyes out. And he's, "Mrs. Beal, who did this?
But wait a minute. Then some other kid, I think it was Gary Levine. Gary Levine, who became a college professor. And then I think he died, actually. Yeah. So then.
From food poisoning.
So wait a minute. Yes. Then Gary starts a chant. Mr. Yuck! So we're turning into food with the Mr. Yuck stickers, and then Gary is chanting, he starts to chant, and the whole lunchroom is going, "Mr. Yuck! Mr. Yuck!" I mean, it was like an insurrection. It was like close to a prison riot.
A little rabble rouser.
Listen, Mrs. Yuck, or Mrs. Beal should have came out and said, "Listen to me, you little schnitz. They have no respect for me."
I really feel bad.
You kind of should.
I come in early and I make these delicious tuna sandwiches and peanut butter and jelly. And these kids don't appreciate me.
And Mrs. Beal is probably long gone. She probably...
Hope she haunts you.
She probably went to her grave sad about Mr. Yuck.
What are your last words?
Said that little schnit.
Maybe her granddaughter is Jessica Beal, and things turned for her once you left that school.
Schnit is a yuck.
God, guys, I swear, I feel so bad now. And I forgot all about this until I saw the story that Mr. Yuck has turned 50 years old. All right, the preachers and sneakers story, unbelievable, next.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
This is the MJ Morning Show. You are listening to Q105. If you could, just do us a little favor. Spread the word that the MJ Morning Show is back here on Q105. If you just found us recently, we returned on October 5th.
Magical day.
Yeah, very Monday, October 5th, 2020. Was a day in radio history never to be forgotten here in the Tampa Bay area as the MJ Morning Show returned here on Q105. All right, busy day. We got to get into the 911 problem. An email went out Froggy didn't see it because Froggy doesn't see any email.
Well, I see my important emails.
There could be an email that goes out that says, warning, do not enter the building. There's been a cyanide leak in the building. Do not walk in the building. Froggy wouldn't see it.
Stroll right in here.
God, where the hell is everybody today?
Froggy will start foaming at the mouth and everything.
Breathe.
Yeah. We have a 911 problem. Email goes out, and this is pretty interesting. Pretty interesting story. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. First, though, preachers and sneakers. This is a great story. And this is something that, well, yeah, I mentioned Virginia Beach, and I grew up in New York until I was like 10. Then we moved to Virginia Beach when I was like 10, 11 years old.
Yeah, just enough time to torment the lunch lady.
And then that's when Mr. Yuck happened. Right. And in Virginia Beach, that, of course, that was the home of the 700 Club. And Pat Robertson and that whole show. And that was a big thing back then. I remember listening and hearing, like, my parents and our neighbors. Our neighbor was Melvin. Melvin Byram. And Melvin was a cool guy, very religious, evangelical Christian. And I just remember Melvin complaining, man, those 700 Club guys, they live in mansions. They're all driving brand new Mercedes Benzes. And that was a deal back in the mid 70s. People recognize this. So fast forward to now, and there's a guy in Dallas by the name of, Ben Kirby. And this dude started noticing that on these YouTube channels, these super preachers and evangelical types and the TV shows that you see on Sunday mornings or running Sunday nights, that a lot of these TV evangelists, they're wearing just expensive stuff. And he starts noting, like, the cost. So this guy starts posting on Instagram, hey, Elevation Worship, how much are you paying your musicians that can afford $800 kicks?
Whoa.
Then he wondered, could the church's pastor, Stephen Furtick, one of the most popular preachers in the country, afford, how could he afford a new designer outfit like every single week?
Yeah, I've seen this guy before with his perfect beard.
Exactly. Stephen Furtick, I've seen this guy on TV as well. So friends said, hey, you ought to start posting this stuff. So then he started a new Instagram account called Preachers and Sneakers. It's Preachers, the letter N, Sneakers. And then he would grab screenshots off of TV or off of YouTube channels. And then he would list the price of, like, the clothes or the shoes that they were wearing. And then within a month, he had an Instagram account with 400 followers. It ballooned then to 100,000 followers on his feed. This is his Instagram. Kirby has showcased Seattle pastor Judah Smith's $3,600 Gucci jacket. Dallas pastor T.D. Jakes' $1,250 Louboutin fanny pack.
Whoa.
Miami pastor Guillermo Maldonado's $2,540 Ricci crocodile belt. Oh, and this is local, folks. He considers Paula White a gold mine for content.
I'm scrolling through his IG, and I didn't realize how hip all these preachers are.
Of course they are. They got all the fashion.
Calls Paula White a content gold mine. Posting a picture of her wearing $785 Stella McCartney sneakers.
Wow.
For instance. The Washington Post, they tried to contact some of the preachers that were featured, and they didn't return. Yeah.
They were praying. Yeah.
None of them returned calls. Paula White, Carl Lentz, Jakes, none of them. But the question is, if you're supposed to be a person of God, and should you be wearing these really ostentatious, incredibly expensive items that your flock or your followers can't afford?
Well, you know what's funny is some of them dress in a way, a lot of them dress in a way that makes them look very casual and like they didn't put a lot of effort into it or maybe didn't spend as much money as the average person might think. And then when you go and say, hey, how much is that leather jacket? $3,600. Like, you don't even realize it based on their kind of low-key look.
It's unbelievable. He is just showcasing just the value, how expensive these things are. You know, it makes me think of, has anyone ever seen The Righteous Gemstones on HBO?
One of the greatest shows ever.
That is unbelievable.
I've only seen, the only one was the first season, right?
Is it one? Yeah, one season, right?
I haven't seen when the second season's coming out. Or
the pandemic hit, and that screwed up a lot of TV production. Yeah, look that up. Folks, if you have HBO Max or whatever, and you haven't seen it, The Righteous Gemstones is absolutely phenomenal. And it's about this scheming, scamming, religious evangelical family with a huge ministry. They've got the huge building, the television, the whole shebang, and they're just grifting and they're just crooks. It's called The Righteous Gemstones. And yeah, one season, it's on HBO, and I can't wait for like the second season to
hit. They're currently filming in Charleston right now for the second season.
So, yeah. Big Eli is not a crook, by the way.
Oh man, that show is fantastic. But you got a bunch of real life, like Righteous Gemstones out there.
Well, it's, why the sneakers? These guys all have private jets. I mean, why are they pointing out the least expensive?
Oh, Creflo Dollar. Remember that guy, Creflo Dollar? He was a black evangelical preacher. He was begging his followers that he needed like $55 million for a new Gulfstream jet. Remember that?
That's what I was thinking of. The guy was asking, saying he already had a jet. Wait, he wanted a new jet.
And his last name is Dollar. I mean, how?
Of all the last names. Give some dollars to Dollar.
No, I'm Creflo Moolah. You know,
I just have $1.
The only thing better would be like if your name was like Scamster. Yeah.
Shuckster.
Jerry Shyster. Evangelical Ministries.
To my daughter, Charlatan.
All right, MJ Morning Show. This is Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105, 757, and Roxanne. I thought I was going to move on here, but the text line, not as much the regular phone line, but the text line exploded with people commenting on the last segment, just talking about this guy that started this Instagram account called Preachers and Sneakers, where he just kind of peeved at all the expensive belts and outfits and suits and shoes that some of these TV preachers are wearing. I mean, to the tune of hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars that they're showcasing, whether they're on YouTube, whether they're on television on the weekends. These are TV mega church pastors, these evangelicals, and this guy Kirby, born in Louisiana, came out of a Christian family, homeschooled, and it's bugging him. So he starts this Instagram account, and he starts taking little freeze frame snapshots of the expensive clothing items that these preachers on TV are wearing, and that he's putting like dollar signs and the price of what it costs next to each item. And the guy's got quite a following now on Instagram.
And these texters have strong opinions, because you've got some who are saying, why would people even fall for those scammers? And have you seen their watches? They're wearing $25,000 watches.
My God.
And then you have other people who are like, hey, why are you judging? They need to make a living too. What are they supposed to be, bro?
For real? What do you want to
do? Paying 10%. No,
dressed like a bum? They're capitalists.
Wait a sec.
Just like you.
So, I'm a capitalist, but I'm not raising money. I'm not saying, please, give me your hard-earned money.
That's true.
Give me a percentage of your salary. And then you've got some of these folks living these lavish lifestyles. I know what some of these people say. Oh, you know, they've got businesses on the side, and they sell books and this. But does it look good, really?
I bet you if you looked up Joel Osteen's house, it's very economical. It's like probably 1,700 square feet.
Yeah. It's actually a split plan ranch in Houston.
I bet you it is.
Yeah.
I bet you it's a very economical house.
Split into two mansions.
No, okay. I'm guessing he lives just in a rental complex.
Actually, let me look.
Probably $550 a month. It's a one bedroom.
Yeah, probably.
Joel Osteen actually has a tiny home. He has one of those.
By the way, I found the Creflo Dollar audio bite of him begging for, listen to this. So Creflo Dollar, one of the he begged like, I don't know, 10 years ago, he begged for a new $65 million G650, a Gulfstream jet. Listen to this. This is an audio bite from one of his TV shows.
They take the cake.
Listen to this.
We are believing for 200,000 people to give contributions of $300 US or more.
Doing the math.
Oh my gosh.
They want 200,000 people to give $300 or more so he can get a brand new jet. Here's some Creflo Dollar.
And I knew it was time to begin to believe God. For a new airplane.
That's right. God wants you to have a new Gulfstream G650.
Oh my God! Look at Joel Osteen's little house. Isn't that cute?
It's so cute. It's quaint.
God, it looks like a business park.
His house.
It looks like an airport or something.
My God!
An industrial complex.
It looks like a whole Swiss skiing village. It does.
It's an entire chalet town.
It's like 50,000 square feet.
Oh my God!
There's like 17 houses.
So, polarized crowd. Some people are saying, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
And others are agreeing with me. Right.
Some guy said, stop going to church after I heard my preacher say to someone he couldn't wait for the congregation to pay his car off.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
My McLaren.
My Lamborghini. my Ferrari.
Hey, listen, you know, everybody has their niche. These guys are good at stealing money.
Guys, moving along. If a restaurant makes a mistake, you place an order, and there's an error in the order, what's the best way as a customer to handle this dilemma? Fester, you go into a place, you place an order, they get the order wrong, it's not prepared properly, you bring it to their attention. How do you behave? What do you say to them?
All right, I believe that there are degrees of mistakes. You say put the sauce on the side and they put it on top, or they, I don't want it with onions, and they give you onions. I can live with a lot of mistakes.
Good. Right.
But if it's a pretty egregious mistake, I guess I'm a, excuse me, can you come back over here?
Send it back kind of guy?
I mean, if it's like medium and I order it medium rare, I'm not going to send it back. I'm not that guy. But I can understand sending a meal back.
Okay.
If it's way off base.
What about time-wise? What if it takes way too long for your meal? What do you, as a customer, Roxanne, what do you say if you go into a fast casual place, you're doing a takeout, you're grabbing some items to go, and it's just taking way too long? What do you say as a customer?
I start the conversation with how much longer is this going to take, because we've been here from such and such time, and now it's sort of set the parameters.
Rude!
I'm Froggy.
So you can say that, Fester.
No, you don't say something threatening like, how much longer is this going to take? Well, so you know who I am.
That's a good way to get your food, you know,
it's a question.
Spat upon.
What was the movie? Was it Road Trip? Is that the movie I'm thinking about where the guy sends back the French toast?
Froggy? Oh, that's right.
You remember? I stopped sending food back to the cook once I saw Road Trip, and the guy with
the French
TJ Qualls, I forget the actor's name.
The French toast was used as toilet paper.
Yeah.
And then a little sugar on it.
Yeah, there could be some copycats after that movie.
Pour some sugar on me. All right, so Froggy, how would you handle, let's say an order is taking way too long. How do you handle it?
Well, I'm nice about it. I pick up the plate and I say, either I'm going to smash this on the ground or in your face if you don't fix this within 2 minutes. Well,
Froggy, by any chance, were you at the Wingstop in Antelope, California?
Oh my God.
Was this you?
It was not me. What's the story? I would never do that. I would be polite about it, like Fester.
Customer pissed off. The Wingstop, which is a chain of, you know, wing places around the country.
Yeah, got good wings.
The customer gets pissed off because the order was taken way too long. They were too slow to remake an order that I guess they screwed up the first one. They were remaking it. The customer then says, this is taking too long. I want a refund. They tell him, sorry, sir, this was an online order. No refunds.
Uh-oh.
Well, wait a second. You got to have a provision. If somebody wants a refund, they're like, no, you got to get a refund from corporate if it's an online order.
That makes sense.
No, it doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense at all. I'm just here to fry the wings, man.
Now, hang on a minute. The guy gets agitated and livid. It's Froggy. He picks up their cash register.
Oh, my gosh.
And smashes it on the ground. Takes their cash register, rips it off the counter at the Wingstop, and just slams it, body slams it on the ground. And if that were not enough, Apparently that was not enough. Then he picks up the cash register and smashes it through the front window.
Oh my gosh. Of the WWE.
Then he picks up the remnants of the cash register off the floor where he smashed it. Then he chucks it through the front glass window of the Wingstop.
I kind of want to be friends with this person.
Awesome.
What are you talking about? You want to be friends with this person?
Guy's an animal.
My God. Yeah, another guy inside the store, he witnessed this. He said, I just went in to get some more ranch dressing. That's all I wanted.
I just wanted more celery sticks.
And then he captured the whole chaos. There's a video of this thing.
Oh, good. That's my question.
Hey, Coop, grab the video. Let's put this up on the things mentioned on the MJ Morning Show on our website, mjmorningshow.com. Yeah. So that's just nuts.
Aren't those cash registers secured to the table? You could just pick them up easily.
Yeah, you can pick them up and just chuck them.
I mean, they got to pick them up to clean under them and stuff. Yeah,
good to know.
It's pretty big.
Guy was enraged. He's screaming. An employee asks him to stop yelling. And then he says, what the F do you mean? You can't give me my money back? And then he picks up the cash register, slams it on the ground, then throws it through the front window.
Did he take his money back?
Of the restaurant.
It sounds like he couldn't get it. He thought it was going to open when he slammed it down. It didn't open, and then he threw it through the window.
The guy caused at least $6,000 worth of damage.
So he was arrested.
Including the price to fix the front window. He smashed a whole front window of the restaurant by throwing the cash register through it.
Very expensive wings.
Weather-type Mike was there in like 5 minutes.
The restaurant knows who he is because he placed an online order with his name and phone number and everything. So the restaurant's in the process of filing a police report on the felony vandalism. And I'm sure this guy is going to be arrested.
Yeah.
Not the way to handle an issue with your order. MJ Morning Show back in a second.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
All right, folks, we're going to have to talk about a little sensitive issue here. We got to talk about a little domestic issue among one of the crew members here on the MJ Morning Show in minutes. Stand by. First, I've got the Trip a Day song here. I guess I'm running a few minutes late. Sorry. I'm not. Sorry, not really. I'm sorry.
Things
happen. All right, Trip a Day song is Barracuda. Dun, 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 dun. So listen for Barracuda by Heart. It's going to play on the 1 o'clock hour today. Barracuda Heart, 1 p.m. hour today. Listen, and if you are the correct caller, then you'll win the spring break getaway to the Hard Rock Hotel in Daytona Beach. So Barracuda Heart, 1 p.m. hour right here on Q105. Good luck. Would anyone like to volunteer? It could be me, but buzz in immediately. When I say that we have a little domestic issue on the program and we probably need to talk about it involving one of the crew members, who thinks that I'm talking about them?
I don't, because I've been gone for 2 days.
Okay.
Okay.
I think in our own ways, we all have remarkably dysfunctional relationships that manage to function surprisingly well.
And?
It could be any one of us.
It could be, really.
Fester?
Yes.
Is your wife talking to you yet?
Oh, jeez. Finally. She was talking to me that day.
Right.
But talk about a freaking mountain out of a molehill.
What?
Is that what you wanted to
Allison
say?
Allison wouldn't do that.
The hell she wanted?
The keys.
The freaking keys!
The keys.
Oh, my keys! What did you do? I told you not to do that!
Hang on a minute. Fester showed me a picture of the keys. You ever go to a gas station and the bathroom key is attached to a hubcap?
or a license plate? A cinder block?
You know?
Wood block.
Yeah, whatever. A washing machine lid.
You can't put that thing in your pocket.
I've never seen keys this big. Fester took a picture, actually put a tape measure next to Allison's keys. Her key apparatus is a foot long.
You remember when you were in grade school and the maintenance guy had the key to every door in the school?
Janitors.
Janitors have
key rings.
He had a key ring the size of like a basketball hoop.
This is bigger.
Yeah.
This is more comfortable.
All right, Fester, what happened?
All right, so We go to Orlando this last weekend for a lovely spring break vacation.
Festa was out last Thursday and Friday.
Right.
Yeah.
A lovely place to choose to vacation.
It was fine. We had a wonderful time. So okay. Every time I take my wife's SUV, I take the key off of the keychain, the key that has all the controls on it, and because her keychain is so long, it's hitting my leg, it's hitting my junk, and it's a pain in the ass, and that's it weighs like 2 pounds.
The thing's hanging off the ignition, so Festa just takes the key, and I guess the fob, just detaches that. And what happened? You lost the apparatus?
We're packing up to leave the hotel. We can't find the keys. Now, I know I put them somewhere safe. I didn't lose them. We just couldn't find them. And I knew you would lose them.
The schnit hit the fan, huh?
You mock me when I say don't take the keys off. Where are they? Do you know what a pain in the ass this is going to be to remake this key?
And she flips out.
Flips out. And gives me
a method.
A wildly disproportionate amount of grief.
Okay, so you think that the response was not in proportion to the actual crime.
And I'm saying, it'll be okay. It'll be fine. Listen, I'm sorry. Okay.
Festa's wife didn't talk to him like all weekend long, and the keys were missing, and she's flipping out, and then where'd you find the keys?
They were in the luggage.
Of course.
They were in like the zipper bag. I kept them nice and safe.
We ought to put the picture of Allison's keys up on our website.
I don't know if any of our listeners has a more ridiculous keychain than she does.
Is she going to freak out if we put the picture up on the website?
What's the length, the full length?
Listen.
When you put the tape measure showed how long is her key apparatus?
A foot.
Yeah, it's a foot long.
What? A foot. Yeah. Oh, my. From tip of the key to the bottom of the tassel is a foot.
It's ridiculous. Hang on, folks. We'll get the picture up, MJMorningShow.com. Next, we've got a 911 problem here at the radio station. We've got a Cinnamon Toast Crunch problem all on the way.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
You got the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. And I really had no idea that we'd do a whole segment this morning on
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Froggy, your rendition of that was actually pretty decent.
My childhood, man. That's all I ate. I love that stuff.
When's the last time you had some Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Well, the wife bans sugary cereals.
That was
so
my
not
household.
Long.
Well, so your kids, they'll get all jacked up on like, on Fruity Pebbles?
Unfortunately not.
Really? Your kids aren't like, on like Sugar Shockers? They're not like eating Apple Jacks and Frosted Flakes and
Lucky Charms. Those are just straight marshmallows.
You know, they're magically delicious.
They really are. I sneak them some Caramellos every once in a while in the morning, but other than that, they get healthy crap.
Man, can you imagine? Like a cornflake cereal with caramellos in the cereal.
It's fantastic. Yum. It'd be
caramello flakes.
Guys, can I point something out? This might have come up in the past. I do not like regular milk. I do not like white milk.
Yeah, but with cereal.
I do not use white milk in cereal.
Use creamer?
Nope.
Chocolate?
Yes, I do.
What?
Ew!
Since I was a kid, I only eat my cereal with chocolate milk.
That's gross.
No, it is not. It is delicious.
How can you even taste the taste of the cereal with all that chocolate milk in there?
Fantastic.
Well, there's the one cereal, the chocolate Fruity Pebbles, that makes the milk chocolate.
So if I have if I have chocolate or what is it? Cocoa
Pebbles. That's understandable.
It's Cocoa Pebbles. So if I have Cocoa Pebbles, what's the other one?
Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
Cocoa Krispies is the one that makes the chocolate.
If I go,
they all make
it. If I go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. If I go cuckoo for, and then you've got double cuckoo because I've got chocolate milk. Anyway.
Wait, I have one more question.
What?
If you have the feeling to follow your nose and get some Fruit Loops, you put chocolate milk in that?
No.
With Fruit Loops?
Nope. I don't eat that kind of cereal. I would not eat with milk. I would just eat that as a dry snack.
You're a freak.
But a chocolate milk has to go with a certain type of cereal.
Like a Cheerio?
It can't conflict. Cheerios with chocolate milk, fantastic. Honey Nut Cheerios with chocolate milk, fantastic.
You're a cereal killer as well.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
All right, this is insane. This is absolutely crazy. I don't think that the Cinnamon Toast Crunch Company, which is General Mills, I don't think they bargained on having this kind of an interaction here. A guy in Los Angeles, guy's name is Jensen Karp. Turns out he's a comedian, he's a TV writer as well out in Hollywood. This guy is eating his Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and he found shrimp tails in his box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, the picture, at first glance, looks just like shrimp tails.
It is shrimp tails. You know who his wife is, Fester?
No.
Topanga.
His wife.
Really? Yes.
Yeah, his wife is Danielle Fishel.
From Boy Meets World.
Wow, yeah. Topanga.
Yep, that's his wife.
You expect Topanga to eat cinnamon shrimp tails?
Listen to this.
I'd love her to eat shrimp.
Recently, he's eating a bowl of his favorite cereal. He's getting ready to pour himself a second bowl of...
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, what a glutton.
When he noticed what he thought were shrimp tails. You know when you eat a peel and eat shrimp and you still have the tail on it and you kind of just bite it and then you have the tail, you just toss the tail. You
know, I eat the tails, man.
Yeah, you know, that plasticky, cartilagey, or what is that, man? It's just, you know, some
you
kind
eat
of
the tails? Tails?
Yeah.
He's the cereal killer for using chocolate milk on cereal, and you eat shrimp tails?
I used to know somebody that never peeled the shrimp, ate the whole shrimp.
Now that's your
plasticky coating and everything.
That's psychotic.
That's some sound roughage.
All right. Now here's the deal. He finds these, what he thinks are shrimp tails. They look just like shrimp tails in his bag of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So he tweets about it, and he tags General Mills, who owns and manufactures Cinnamon Toast Crunch. They offer him a free box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah.
And they offer to send someone to his front door to sing the jingle.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
He bought it at a Costco in the Los Angeles area, but in a later reply, General Mills said, these aren't shrimp tails. It's an accumulation of cinnamon and sugar.
Yeah.
And they said there was no possibility of any cross-contamination with shrimp with their Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Way to gaslight this guy.
Yep, well, that's what he's claiming. He says, okay, well, after further investigation with my eyes, these are cinnamon-coated shrimp tails, you weirdos. I wasn't at all mad until you tried to gaslight me. That's what he wrote.
What's gaslight?
So wait a minute. We'll explain that in a minute, Froggy. Let me.
I want to know now.
We'll explain what gaslighting is in a second here. All right. So he then decides to investigate the bag of Cinnamon Toast Crunch a little further. Inside the bag, he then finds string.
Ooh.
He then finds black spots on many of the cinnamon squares. And then his wife, Danielle Fishel from Boy Meets World, she takes a look at a second bag. I guess this was like the Costco double pack. You know what you get?
That's what you get. You get a big box, two bags.
Dude, how fun.
When you buy it from the big the box stores.
It's like a Cracker Jack box. There's a prize in every. How fun. Let's go get some boxes. It'd be like a game.
I'm really not that mad at this.
I mean, how about
you? You're not mad at what he's doing or mad at the Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I mean, I think it's nice you get a little breakfast and some lunch.
His wife.
Surf and turf.
Wife opens up the second bag. And apparently it was not factory sealed. It was just taped up. And she found dental floss inside.
What?
In a master lock.
What are the odds?
So, man, I'll tell you what. These prizes in the cereals these days are getting great.
Honey, there's a flip-flop in my Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Not sure.
This leads to a food contamination issue.
This is bizarre. So that he details this stuff on his social media. I guess after he documents all these interactions on Twitter with the General Mills Cinnamon Toast Crunch people, were like, hey, I work in a lab. You want me to DNA test these things? So multiple researchers and labs are saying, hey, we'll help you, DNA test this stuff. You imagine you have dental floss string, like with used dental floss?
If it's used.
General Mills says they're investigating the matter, but they say with confidence this did not occur at our facility. And as of Tuesday, yesterday, Karp says that he felt fine despite, you know, consuming the initial bowl with the shrimp tails. And he said his taste for Cinnamon Toast Crunch is gone. He said it was like the only breakfast cereal he ever ate.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
And now he's done with it.
But his craving for cinnamon shrimp tails is through the roof.
Cinnamon
shrimp tails. Cinnamon flossing. What is it? Floss?
Dental floss. It's just dental floss. It doesn't really work.
So gaslighting is when you question somebody and you make them doubt what they believe.
It's a behavior perpetrated by a lot of narcissists and sociopaths.
So it's where you say something, you believe something, you might have proof of something, and then when you gaslight somebody, it's like you play psychological games with them, and you make them doubt that what they believe or see is real. That's gaslighting.
I would never do that.
All right? Later on, we'll talk about doxing, ladies and gentlemen. You know what I want to do? This is bizarre. Now, there is a chance that this did not happen at the factory. There's a chance that this thing happened at the Costco, that it happened when it was being shipped, that somebody...
It's a food tampering issue.
That it could be somebody at the store opened it up and put this crap inside in a Costco, for instance.
I have to evaluate the whole bag. I have to look at the bottom of the box. What if it was opened and resealed?
All right, here's what I want to do. I want to go to the MJ Morning Show foreign object phones. All right.
Let's qualify this a little bit.
What is the weirdest thing you've ever found in your food? Have you ever had a purchased item where you've had a bizarre foreign object of sorts in your food, maybe in a restaurant?
A fly in my soup.
Did you ever have any crazy foreign object? Like, you ever have like Froggy said, you ever have a master lock in your bowl of soup?
A fly in your soup would be too pedestrian. Too pedestrian.
Yeah, everybody does that.
Not flies or hair. Have you ever had anything bizarre in a purchased product or in food in a restaurant?
Have like a little Debbie cake with a bullet in it.
Exactly.
Yes. That's what we're looking for.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. What is the most bizarre thing you've ever had in a purchased food product or in a restaurant? Foreign object phones right now. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. We'll hit the phones next. MJ Morning Show.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
I can't wait. Let's go to the MJ Morning Show foreign object phones. So after the shrimp tails, the dental floss, the car battery.
So you can floss your teeth after you get those shrimp tails stuck in them.
There's a carburetor in my cereal.
So crazy story we just did about Cinnamon Toast Crunch and a guy with all kinds of crap in his bag of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I asked folks to call up. What are some crazy things that you found in either purchased manufactured items or maybe at a restaurant? What's like the craziest crap you've ever found, foreign object, in your food? All right, 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047 is the number to the phones, and we are loaded. Let's grab Darlene in Riverview. Darlene, you're on the MJ Morning Show, Q105. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Go ahead.
I was living in California, and we went to KFC, and we ordered one of those chocolate bun cakes for dessert.
Oh, yeah.
So we got home, and after dinner, I went to cut the cake, and there was a skew stick inside of it.
What? Hold on. Are you talking about like the long wooden toothpick or metal?
It was like the long wooden.
A skewer? Like a bamboo skewer?
Yes.
My God, how'd that get in there?
Did it fall in the batter?
Yeah, and this was like 20 years ago, so it was before everybody called to complain. And I never took it back. I never called.
No. Did you eat the stick as well?
You know, the stick could double as a nice toothpick.
Exactly. Claire's in Zephyr Hills. Claire, you're on the MJ Morning Show. The foreign object phones are on. What did you find?
I found a chewed off fingernail in a bag of Fritos.
Oh!
Right?
Those things look like fingernails to begin with.
Oh my God.
Yeah, one of my girlfriends, we tease her and say her toenails look like corn chips.
Oh man.
That's really disgusting.
That is, well, you know, they do look similar.
Claire, thanks for the call. Dan's in Plant City. Dan, you're on the MJ Morning Show Foreign Object Phones. What'd you find in your food?
So a couple years ago, I went to Applebee's for lunch, and I love their lemon pepper chicken macaroni and cheese. And I took a bite of it, and I found about an inch and a half long curl of steel, like left over from the steel wool Brillo pads that they use to clean the dishes.
Yeah, you know, again, that can happen. You know, here they're cleaning their dishes well, and you got a piece of Brillo pad or a stainless steel or a one of those metal brushes. Yeah, I can see that happening. I mean,
obviously that's the most delicious piece of steel you'll ever consume in your life, though. It's covered in that gooey, garlicky butter.
By any chance, are you iron deficient?
Not anymore after that.
You're good.
Thanks for the call. Oh, man. Eric is in Valrico. Eric, you're on the MJ Morning Show, Q105. Hi.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, this is when I was in, this is about 10 years ago, in North Miami. We went to P.F. Chang's, me and my wife. I was actually going to ask her to marry me that night. And we went to have dinner, and we had a glass of ice water, because that's all she really drinks is water.
Yep.
And about 5 minutes in, she says, "I'm feeling something crunchy. What's going on here?" We investigate the glass some more. We found that there's shards of glass on the bottom that she was drinking up. Luckily, she found it in time before she started drinking all of it.
You know what happened is another adjacent glass broke, and the glass ended up in her clean glass. And
yeah,
you know, if that happens and you're in the restaurant business and you've got any of that, you gotta dump the, turn all the glasses over, clean them all again. That's what happened. Did she cut her mouth or did she avoid that?
No, luckily she avoided all that. It was only like probably like 7 or 8 shards of pieces of glass. And they explained the situation. It was probably another glass that broke in there. But then they ended up comping our meal, and it was a good night.
Wow, thanks for the call.
Yeah, what about the marriage proposal? Yeah.
Let's grab, I've already cut him off. Sorry about that. Let's grab Maria in Lakewood Ranch. Maria, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. What happened?
So, in a box of Honey Nut Cheerios, the box was sealed, the bag, and I open it, pour it up in my plate, and I find a piece of PVC plastic, like a broken PVC plastic, like, you know, the ones that you use for your pipes and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what PVC plastic is.
In your Honey Nut Cheerios. Thanks for the call. All right, one more here. Let me grab Tony in Tampa. Tony, you're on the MJ Morning Show. What'd you find?
Yeah, hey, MJ. I was at the Marriott on West Shore. You know, I used to go to a sports bar there called Champions.
Yep.
I had a chef salad and had two Phillips screwdrivers about an inch long in my chef
salad. You had two Phillips screws in your chef salad?
Two of them, not one. I don't know if they were reconstructing the plate.
Yeah, they were really trying to screw you. thanks, Tony. Appreciate it. Look at that.
Did you ever get anything crazy?
Yeah. College... I had a small, like, masonry spike in an order of broccoli.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
In my
French. You know those flat nails?
Yeah.
You know, is that like a masonry, a concrete nail? Yeah. I was chewing, and then suddenly I had metal in my mouth.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it was a masonry spike.
I got that beat. Yeah.
Absolutely.
My French onion soup had a Ryobi power drill in it one time.
All right. So the whole soup. Michelle and I, we got our first vaccination yesterday. I'll give the whole story. I'll get Michelle on the phone coming up. That was our secret mission yesterday.
This is the MJ Morning Show Podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
You know what that is, guys, right?
Yep.
What is that?
It's your jab.
Yeah, that's Michelle and I getting jabbed yesterday. Yeah, Michelle's on the phone. You got the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105, and I teased that Michelle and I were going on a mission after the show yesterday, and we did. We found ourselves behind the wheel of a large automobile. And I said to myself, look at my beautiful wife.
You did. That's exactly what you said. Look at this place that you pulled into, a dog track / poker place.
I find myself in a parking lot of a Greyhound track with a poker room.
I think that's where Fester and I met for the very first time.
Really?
No, we met at Derby Lane.
Oh, never mind.
He's talking okay. Tampa okay. Greyhound track.
This was the Tampa Greyhound track right off of Waters and, you know, I-70, right? I-275 and
I
Waters.
I know when you're talking.
Hey, Michelle, we got our vaccinations yesterday. Michelle and I went. We arrived into the parking lot at 11:45 a.m. yesterday, and there were five lines. You drive in, and there were like five lanes with traffic cones and people in FEMA vests and police all over the place and like Air Force and National Guard all over the place. Michelle, what was your observation as we both decided to get our first jab of the Pfizer vaccine in Tampa yesterday?
It was remarkably easy to do. Not very difficult at all. And it did feel very eerie, like we were in a movie, like a movie that you saw and you think it's never going to happen. But it was, it was just super easy. I just couldn't believe how quick we were in and out of there. And
it was very well organized. It was very well done. It was efficient. It was organized. We waited in the line for maybe, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes, and then they moved our line to the parking lot. We then parked the car. We walked into like this, the whole complex of white tents. And it was like you went from one tent to the other, and then they check you in. Then they give you a barcode. I mean, I gotta be honest. It was 100% smooth. We were in and out in 1 hour, and that includes the waiting time before. That includes the 15 minutes waiting time after you get the shot to make sure that you don't go into any kind of anaphylactic shock or something.
Send you for that, like a relaxation room or something? Where do you go to wait?
After you get jabbed, they send you in another tent, and they just have chairs, and you just sit and wait. They have a clock on the wall, and
digital. I don't know if it's a relaxation room necessarily, just a couple of folding chairs on the pavement.
I got a foot massage while I was there. Yeah.
You were.
Michelle's right. It was weird feeling. It felt a little dystopian. It felt like I was in, some kind of Contagion movie. I was looking for Dustin Hoffman in the big yellow suit and the face mask. He wasn't there. But it went so smoothly. Everyone was nice. They were pleasant. I tell you, they got this whole thing down to a science, though. They check you in. I got an email that gives me my second dose date that we go back on the 13th of April at between 12:25 and 12:45 in the afternoon. I mean, it's really well organized and done. It was bam, bam, bam. We got the Pfizer shot. And I know that they're going to be switching to the Johnson & Johnson shot soon. I think they were doing 3,000 Pfizers a day. I think starting today, they drop it to 500 Pfizers a day and then some Johnson & Johnsons. I think they might be phasing to all one-shot J&J shots. I wanted the Pfizer, actually.
So they took your ID, right? They made sure you were of the age.
They scan your ID, and then they print out a little sticker that you. Then they keep barcoding and scanning you. I mean, it felt movie-like. Did feel a little weird, but again, my first dose is in. Michelle's first dose is in. No side effects. The only thing is just a little soreness in my upper bicep. Just the same thing I'd feel if I got a tetanus shot or something, right? Or a flu shot.
And when do y'all go back?
Michelle, we go back on the 13th of April at like 12 noon.
Perfect.
So, then you're a free man.
No, I mean, you still have to, obviously operate intelligently.
No, I want you to cough right in my face.
Hey, Michelle, is your arm sore or?
So hot.
Yeah, just where the, where the site of the shot was, that's it. Not anything else.
Any other observations about the process?
No.
Well, she starts talking like a man or something.
No, I just feel I feel okay.
Where are you going to lose back hair from?
Are you happy we did it?
Sure.
Okay.
If MJ wasn't as persistent on getting this shot, Michelle, would you have been gung-ho to get it on your own?
I probably wouldn't have been cruising out yesterday to get it, but you know what? I'd rather get the shot than have my kids get the virus. So,
yeah. So
good thinking.
Good rationale.
We have shot number one. We'll go back in a couple of weeks. We'll get shot number two. And what is it? 3 weeks, right? like 3 weeks for shot number two, and then it takes another couple of weeks after that to be fully inoculated or have the maximum effects from the vaccine. So,
right.
And then we have to see what happens with the variants. We have to see. You know, I read something where there's a doctor, big famous epidemiologist, virologist. He thinks that we might be, getting this shot like every year for the foreseeable future, like you go to get a flu shot.
Great.
So yeah.
Give it to me right on my neck.
But it was very impressive, just very well done. I got my shot. I have no problem getting the shot.
If you wanted it administered to the buttock, would they have done that?
No.
Well, they asked you right arm or left arm. So you got, why don't you try that faster? Why don't you go up there and say,
left cheek, please.
Left ass cheek. That's where I want my shot.
I want mine in my muffin top.
Oh. It's called a pubis mound.
Oh, both of you.
I want mine in the dimple of my butt dimple.
Yeah. I'm Michelle.
You need a picture of that right
there. First of all, Roxanne doesn't even have a muffin top. But
yeah, seriously.
Thank you, Michelle. You're so
sweet. Roxanne, do you have a muffin top?
She does not.
I mean, if I squeeze into jeans that are, three sizes too small, I could probably get some muffin up there.
Right.
Nice topping.
All right, Michelle.
I just eat the top.
Top the muffin to you.
That was our mission yesterday. All right, Michelle, I got to run. Did she hang up?
Yep.
Yeah, she's on. She's done.
She's done with me.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
Oh, man, we got a lot to get to in the final segments here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. We have a 911 problem in the building. 911, what's your emergency? Well, apparently we got a bunch of dillweeds here that don't know how to operate a telephone in the building. That's
we also have a very archaic phone system here.
Yeah. All the equipment in front of me is very archaic as well. So, but we are getting a new studio. Guys, they've ordered new equipment. We are getting we're getting a brand new studio.
Room?
And if we keep our jobs here, I guess we'll get to use it in a couple of months.
That is the trick.
Is it going to be in this where we are right now?
Well, that's the thing. This room is kind of too small to design the studio that I want, so I proposed to build another room in the building, and we'll see where that goes.
Oh, would you like to hire me to be in charge of lighting the room?
Uh-oh.
Hire? Like pay you?
Yeah. Or assign, whatever.
Let's talk about our 911 problem.
That's a no, by the way, Roxanne.
Memo goes out. Email. Everybody got it but Froggy. You're probably the biggest culprit of this deal.
I've actually been a victim of this.
Yeah, this came from Travis Daly. Travis is our operations manager. We got a serious problem here. The cops keep showing up. The St. Petersburg police keep showing up at the building. Why? Because Nimrods don't know how to use a phone, and they keep dialing 911 when they're trying to dial a long-distance call. Here's the deal. I got a whole memo here. And apparently, the St. Petersburg police now, they have Travis's cell number, so they call Travis's cell number first before they dispatch, like, all these units to a complex with what? How many radio stations do we have? Like, six? So you got six big radio stations in here, and who knows? I mean, you have wackos out there. So now they're getting so many 911 false calls from our office that they're calling Travis's cell phone. Yeah, is everything okay there before we send the whole police department to Beasley?
You know what's funny is I have seen cop cars here. I'll look down and say, why are they here? Yeah. Who's in trouble? MJ,
do you remember back when I used to do the crank calls and I'd come in early? And a cop showed up in the studio, walked in, knocked on my studio window because I hit 9 to get out.
Yep.
And the area code was like 1 something, like 3-5. And I accidentally
hold on. No area code starts with a 1.
No,
he means 1 long distance.
Long distance. I was crank calling people.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I hit 9 to get out.
Yep.
And then I hit 1, but I would accidentally hit 1 twice because remember the pad would go beep, beep.
Yeah.
And they showed up.
Yeah, yeah. So sometimes you'd push 1, or sometimes on that old phone system, you'd push it and it would like double, it would go boop, boop. You're right.
And then I hung up and they showed up.
Guess that's what? The identical problem.
That's what's happening here.
And I think people just don't know how to use rotary phones anymore.
Well, we don't have rotary
phones. Well, whatever these are called.
They're double punching.
Landlines.
This is not a rotary phone.
Landlines. It was a circle thing.
Yeah, rotary phone was when you do your finger in a circle. These are
in a rotation.
These are touch tones.
Well, touch tones, but landlines.
What's happening, and Froggy, that's it. to get an outside line, and I'm telling you, it's the sales weasels. It's the sales department. They don't know how to use phones. All right.
Have you sat through those sales meetings? I would call 911 if I had to sit through some of those meetings.
Please.
I'm going to get this meeting over with right now.
So what's going on is, I guess the sales folks, they're trying to make long distance calls. You got to hit 9 for an outside line and then 1 to dial long distance. So let's say you're calling New York, 1 and then 212. And then some of them are hitting the 1 twice. So you hit 9 to get out.
Yeah.
And then that should, but somehow they're getting another.
It's inadvertent. Yeah. This antiquated phone system, sometimes the 1 is a double punch.
Well, or the 9, I don't think that's what it is. I think that they're hitting 9 to get out, and then they get a line, but they don't think they have the line. They hit 9 again, then 1 for long distance, and then somehow another 1 gets pushed, and they're dialing 911. And of course, if you call 911 and you hang up, they dispatch.
Yep.
Because a lot of times, you know, people that are in distress, let's say there's a domestic situation and people are trying to call 911. Let's say, horrific guy is beating the crap out of a woman.
Put down that phone right now. And she's like, yeah. I'm calling 911.
And she hits 911 and then he rips the phone out of the wall.
I love you.
But it connected. Exactly. They will dispatch. 911 hangups get dispatched.
Right.
Because a lot of times, there's a problem, and the cops will stumble upon the problem with a 911 hang-up. A lot of times it's kids that are just playing with the phone. But, you know, there are not a lot of 911, I should say, there's not as many landline phones in houses anymore.
There's no phones around to do it.
But you also have a lot of cell phone 911 hang-ups as well. But we got a problem. The cops keep coming. Apparently the cops were showing up like 5-6 times a week here.
What's going to happen when we have a real incident?
Exactly. They're not going to come.
Wolf. So that's what Travis has to do. They call Travis. He has to stop whatever highfalutin executive business he's doing.
Yeah.
He has to walk the building to make sure there's not a real emergency.
Yes, right. Froggy's getting stabbed right now. Okay, I will call the cops about that.
All right, speaking of emergencies, did you hear the audio of the supermarket out in Colorado from the live stream?
I don't know if I want to hear that.
It's crazy. All right, we have a lot of stuff. And I got any parent's worst nightmare? Just a lot of stuff coming up, and also some sex stuff. All right, so stand by. We're running the gamut here on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Hey, thanks to everyone that blew up the phones moments ago for the SeaWorld tickets. We do have a winner, Coop.
It is Kyle from Valrico.
Oh, same first name as you.
That's right,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it's Kyle Cooper. That's our Generation Z producer.
Hey, where do you live, Coop?
Sometimes I forget my name is Kyle.
Yeah. Guess we call you Coop, is that it?
Yeah.
You got the MJ Morning Show. Congratulations, Kyle. Appreciate it. More SeaWorld tickets tomorrow right here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Spread the word that the MJ Morning Show is back. All right. A lot of stuff to cover. We got two big segments to go. All right, do we have two?
Two big segments.
Yeah, two or three.
Two.
All right, two segments to go. This is crazy. Can you imagine having a $1 million winning lottery ticket and you lose the ticket? But then you find the ticket? So you lose the ticket. Then you find the ticket. God, that sucked.
Awful.
They're really bad.
This is insane. You know when something is so important that you try so hard not to make something bad happen and it does? It's like, sort of like on Friday the 13th. People like, oh, it's Friday the 13th. Oh my God. I don't believe in that crap anyway. But what happens is people, they kind of whip themselves up into a mental frenzy, and I think they make themselves more predisposed to having something happen.
You put too much pressure on yourself, or it's just a self-fulfilling prophecy.
This is crazy. This is a guy in Tennessee. This guy had a winning lottery ticket worth more than $1 million in the state lottery. Nick Slatton, he's from Sparta, Tennessee. Lovely community. Never been there. Just sounds nice. He bought a ticket at a place called the Village Market on March 10th before he went home. Next morning, he checks the Tennessee Lottery app, discovers his ticket was worth $1,178,746.
I'll take it.
$1.1, almost $1.2 million. The guy said, I was stunned. I couldn't believe it. He was like unbelievably thrilled. He can't express it.
Your
it was
whole
like,
life's changed in a second. Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, listen, it's not like winning the Powerball for, you know, $650 million, but still, you know, after taxes, this guy's probably going to walk away with, what, $600,000-$700,000, something like that.
Look, $500,000 changes almost everybody's life instantly.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So he rushes to tell his fiance, rushes to her workplace, then spend the rest of the day running errands, including taking his brother to
the airport.
And all, what?
Well, you
what are you just blurting out?
It made it sound like you were putting it out for guesses. Airport's a pretty good guess.
All right.
I was going to say the bar.
He took his brother to an auto parts store. Which one was it?
O'Reilly's.
Yes, it was.
Really?
O'Reilly.
I was going to guess Advanced Auto Parts, but that's not the right answer.
He went to O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, really?
About an hour later, he realized. Oh my God! Can you see people like doing
that's a cell phone dance.
The frantic pat down.
Yeah. He said, bleep.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
No, you're right. When people can't find their cell phone, it's like, you know, you can tell. People go into that
pushy.
I do it. My wife says, can't find your cell phone. Because you go into like that quick little panicky mode and you're like, you're touching all your pockets. You're like, you know, is it down in my junk area? Where's my cell phone?
Well, that's how you know it's on vibrate.
So this guy panics. Couldn't find the ticket. $1,178,746. Lost the ticket.
What a buffoon.
I wouldn't feel bad for this guy if he never found it, because you win the ticket and then you take your brother to get some oil at the O'Reilly.
So it was after he went to O'Reilly Auto Parts with his bro. About an hour later, he realized he didn't have the ticket. He's doing the whole frantic thing. Oh, my God. Couldn't find it anywhere. Then he panics, starts retracing his steps, pulls into the O'Reilly Auto Parts parking lot. He saw the ticket on the ground next to the driver's door of another car on the ground of the parking lot.
How did he just drop it? That's inexcusable. $1 million.
Don't you put this thing in your wallet? Or don't you clutch this thing? Don't you put it in your glove box? I mean, how do you not cling on to this thing like it is the most precious thing in the world?
He's lucky a mechanic didn't find that thing.
My God. He said it was a million-dollar ticket, and somebody probably just stepped right over it.
But, you know, you wouldn't pick up. If you see a discarded lotto ticket, you think, it's a loser.
Yeah, I would never pick it up.
Yep. The Tennessee Lottery and all lotteries, if you win, they say, hey, sign your ticket right away to be able to identify that, you know, it's yours, or prevent somebody else from cashing it.
So it's the opposite of when you have a check that's written to you.
So let's say Hoss, the part-time employee at the O'Reilly, finds it, picks it up, realizes it's a winner, and then signs it. It's Hoss's.
By the way, Hoss, he's got a badass 72 jacked up Nova.
Yeah.
On the side of the building. You see that thing? He's got the hood chimney and everything going on.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm going to get lifted even more with this loop.
Remember, they had the rear ends all jacked up. They had those suspension, those old Novas all jacked up in the rear ends on those things. Wow, that's an incredible story. And then here's the image of him at the Tennessee Lottery headquarters getting his big giant, you know, presentation check.
Good for him.
He's wearing a mask.
Is that crazy that it was there? A little lottery that could have been blown away, picked up by somebody else. I mean, it was still in the O'Reilly.
So irresponsible.
That's crazy. All right. Bunch of things we got to get to. Did you see the item about the guy on the Scientology tour that ruined Scientology security cameras with a laser pen?
Nice.
They give tours?
No.
They do.
No. Well, listen, they'll be happy to give you a tour if you want to join that cult. That's
don't expect to get out alive.
Yeah, that's
I'm just kidding. I don't mean it.
Yeah. Why don't you try to get a hold of Lisa McPherson on that deal?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. This is crazy. This guy was on, well, they call it the Cult City Tour.
All right.
You get a free e-meter reading?
This is not an official Scientology tour. This is a private tour. A guy by the name of Robert Harris was near the Scientology buildings in downtown Clearwater. They pretty much have the whole damn thing. He was on a tour last month, and he decides that he's going to take his pocket laser, just shine it into all of the security cameras that he sees at Scientology.
Oh, no. Does that ruin a camera?
Yeah, well, I guess the laser deal, it's not like an old tube camera, but I guess it like wrecked the pickup chips. Whatever the sensor is, the guy did over $2,000 worth of damage to the Scientology security cameras.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's not a member of the church. Guy's name is... the guy that did it was Robert Harris, and he was on a tour started by Ted Reinhardt, not a member of the church. He launched some kind of walking tour as sort of like a demystification of Scientology, according to the Tampa Bay Times. And he's on this walking tour, and he decides to shine the lasers into... Listen, I don't agree with Scientology. I'm not a Scientology fan. It's creepatola to me. But don't damage their property. You don't shine lasers into their cameras. Anyway, they've got cameras everywhere. And they followed this guy. They were able to see him get into his car. That's how many cameras they have down there, Scientology. They got him getting into his car. They got his car type. They got his license plate number. They turn it over to the Clearwater police.
They gotta follow it, investigate it.
Yeah, this guy gets a knock on his door. It's like, hey, dude, you ruined a whole bunch of Scientology cameras. Yeah, he like damaged the pickup sensors. Yeah, so this guy, Harris, 76 years old, was arrested at his home on Monday. One count of felony mischief. And he admitted to the offenses. Happened on February 26th.
Jeez.
Yeah, the police showed him surveillance images of him walking all over the place, getting in his car, license plate number, everything, and him shining the laser, you know, into the cameras.
I took one of those tours in New York City.
A Scientology cult tour?
Something like that. Have you seen that? I feel like it's in Times Square.
Well, it wasn't a Scientology tour in Times Square.
She said
It was a shop. Scientology shop. They sold the books.
Oh, really?
They sold all kinds of stuff, and everything looks glitzy and fun in Times Square. So I popped in, and they walk you around there and ask for your email address.
It's all fun and glitzy until you get stabbed by a homeless guy with COVID.
Oh.
Yeah, so this guy's in trouble. Don't screw. And the other thing is,
don't mess with those people.
Yeah, well, the idiots that shine the lasers at airplanes and police helicopters, man, you deserve to get your ass beaten for that. So,
for sure.
All right. I have the audio in the final segment coming up next here on the MJ Morning Show. The audio from the video of the horrific supermarket shootout in Colorado. It's some crazy stuff, plus more details on the shooter and a lot more next on the MJ Morning Show. Hang on.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
Rest in peace, George Segal. How about that? George Segal, the actor, news broke last night. 87 years old. Man, I had no idea he was that old. You know, he was great on The Goldbergs.
Yeah.
You know, also, he was in, I mean, tons of movies. I mean, this guy had like a career that was like, I don't know, 50, 60 years.
I got to tell you, he's somebody I always recognized, but I had no idea what his name was until this morning when I found out he died.
He's like a character actor.
He was great. George Segal dead at the age of 87. Certainly a big, full life.
How's Steven Segal doing?
Oh, Steven Seagal.
Oh, is that Steven Seagal?
No, this is Segal. George. This is George Segal.
No relation?
You're thinking of Steven Seagal.
Did he have a ponytail?
He jumps out of the birthday cake on the ship. Was that some kind of... What movie was that?
All of them.
What the hell is Steven Seagal doing these days?
He's like a Jedi master in North Korea or something.
Yeah, he is. He's like a Tai Chi king.
Doesn't he get in trouble for some stuff, too?
Yeah, bad ponytails.
Hey, Fester, I got some bad news for you.
Did Krispy Kreme cancel their Donut a Day promotion? Because I'm not getting vaccine now.
That's the... Hey, folks, Krispy Kreme announced that if you have the vaccine card that you've been vaccinated, if you go to Krispy Kreme, every day through the end of this year, you can get a free donut if you show them your vaccination card.
282 days left in the year, people.
Yeah, Fester went to that calendar that shows you how many days are left in the year. And Fester asked me, hey, can I borrow your card? Until Fester gets vaccinated, until he's eligible, Festa wants to borrow my vaccination card so we can walk into Krispy Kreme to get his free donut. I'm not giving you my card.
Dude, it might be 2 weeks before I'm eligible to be vaccinated. That's over a dozen donuts, man.
What if every person comes in every day? How much money is Krispy Kreme could go out of business because of this.
I know. They could. At the end of the day, the donuts have like about a half a cent worth of dough in them, okay?
Thanks for the real answer.
They survived the real pandemic, but it's their vaccine promotion. It's going to sink the whole operation.
You know, 2020 was a tough year, but 2021, all that free crap.
No, the bad news I have for you, Fester, is processed meat greatly increases chances of having dementia.
So what?
Bacon, sausage, this is you, man. That's all you eat is bacon and sausage.
Well, bacon is its own food group and should be treated that way. On the food pyramid, it should be right at the bottom. Every foundation of a good diet should be bacon. However, like, does this include, like, salami and hams?
Have you invented the bacon steak yet?
All that processed meat, all that stuff, that cured processed meat, all the nitrites and sodium and all that stuff. All right, folks, this is incredible audio. How did that shooter out in Colorado, the guy was identified yesterday, Ahmad Al-Aliwi Alissa, 21 years old. He looks a lot older than that. How did the family allow this guy to have guns? Now, we have a discrepancy. His older brother is his roommate, says, I didn't know he had guns. His sister told cops, oh, yeah, we saw him playing with the guns, and we took the guns away from him.
What?
And then they gave it back to him.
Oh, here
and
you go.
And the older brother is saying that he's a paranoid, like he's paranoid and he's got mental problems.
Okay.
Why would the family allow him to have guns? Again, it's going to turn out to be a mental case with guns. The audio here is insane. This is a guy that was there. He streamed. A guy live streamed at the King Super supermarket, and it's unbelievable.
I don't know what's going on. I'm at King Super's in South Boulder. I heard gunshots. They were very close. Something just happened here, guys. Someone's down. I'm sure 911. Did you see which way the shooter went?
No.
Look, there's people lying in the street, guys. We need 911 here now. We're at King Supers in South Boulder, Table Mesa. We've got injured parties on the ground.
Wow.
911 now, people. We don't know if there's a shooter, active shooter somewhere. Could be in the store.
Yeah, he went in there.
He went in the store.
Listen to this.
Down there.
Oh, my God. Guys, we got people down inside King Supers. Look, there's... Holy God damn it! I'm f***ing getting away, guys. There's a shooter! Active shooter! Get away! Get back!
And you see a person down in the store, you know, like the Purell dispenser? There's a guy, like, on the floor there. There's two other people, one outside the front door. There's one down in the parking lot.
Is it good for that guy to go in there screaming like that? Or
I think it's good that he came out screaming, telling people there was an active shooter, get away.
Holy cow.
Unbelievable video. And he ducks his head in.
That guy's brave.
And then you heard the gunshot. He ducks his head in and there's another gunshot. And he's like, oh my God, I better get out of here. Yikes. Unbelievable. What else? Anything else, guys, before we get out of here today? I just can't believe the family. I mean, there seem to have been warning signs there. And it's going to be just another mentally ill person that got a hold of a gun.
Yeah. Senseless.
You know, I guess former teammates from high school, he's on the wrestling team, said that he had a temper and he threatened to kill people. And this guy seems like just a time bomb waiting to go off, and he finally did. And this seems like it could have been preventable as well.
Awful story.
Hearts go out to all these people affected. Absolutely. Yep. Anything else, Roxanne? Anything else?
No, happy to be back with you guys. I missed you.
Yeah, it was great to have you back this morning after a couple of days off. Frog, anything else?
See you guys tomorrow.
All right, have a great day, folks.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.